The survival of our native people is in the balance. Everybody's wondering why the United States is on the defensive, not just up here. What about Nicaragua? What about Iran? Why are they saying that they do not want the champions of freedom in their midst? If they're doing to them what they're doing to us, I wouldn't want them either. But they are blessed with one thing. They are not sucked up into the federal system against their will. They are at least viewed as being foreign countries. And in that, they have an advantage. We have come that close to being smothered out of existence. And I say that the native government is one of the last examples of what the federal government and its people have said that they are all about for the last 200 years. Government of the people, by the people, and most importantly, for the people. Genocide, conquest, how do you do that? You beat a government into submission, or you legislate them out of existence. It just so happens that the federal government thought they could do it with one law, ANCSA. You displace the government, you make the settlement terms to a state-chartered business corporation. Actually, you're doing it three, because then you hamper your people that are supposed to be doing this great good for us on the economic scene. ANCSA said that by going the corporation route, we'll help these poor, indigent, uneducated native people. We'll pull them out of their tribal government and put them in a foreign body and say, hey, you got an economic advantage. And they make great bones about $962.5 million. They say that's a lot. But what do they do in the succeeding 10 years? How many billion dollars worth of paper have they printed in the last 10 years? What does that do to $962.5 million over a 10-year period of time? If you have a third left, you're lucky. The Western government is designed to benefit a very small few, the oligarchy. Government of the people for a few. We're not asking that we maintain this trust relationship. We don't trust the federal government anymore. Why are we in this mess? Because we trusted the federal government to begin with. They said, oh, you don't have to worry about this no more. All your lands are yours forever, and we'll make sure of that. 1971 won't come. We'll take care of your health, your education, your land, your subsistence. We'll take care of it all. Trust us. In the process, they have taken control of our government, they have reduced our land base, and they have nearly disrupted our economy through regulation. One of the things that we forget as natives and as tribal members is that we have an obligation to uphold our government. We cannot let it go that quickly and that easily. We have an obligation to fight for our tribal government. And it's not right to be overrun by numbers, by superior firepower, especially when there is no declared war. We have a right as tribal members and as members of our governments to seek the maximum protection of our tribal lands, which supposedly the federal government said that they will protect for us for all time. We have an interest in lands, and that interest in lands is what feeds us, clothes us, and provides us shelter. And yet, by regulation, the state and the federal government are saying, you have to get permission from us to harvest those resources. Is that not another way of saying you have to get permission to live from us? I don't know how strongly or how often I have to repeat myself. You have an obligation as a commission, as people, as citizens of the United States, to seek that the wrongs that were done against Alaska's people have got to be rectified. I would not trust a government which can freely trample on a people in the name of a piece of paper. People are more important than paper. Remember that. Life is more important than paper. And one of the things that I think that the Western society has got to learn from the Alaska Native people is how to live in harmony with your environment. Once you learn that, you are well on your way to ensuring that you and your government will have a place in this world. You can't afford it. We can't afford it. We have to live in this thing together. As I said earlier yesterday, there is no law, either state or federal, that says there's a jurisdictional limit to tribal government. And until such time as one is negotiated, the tribal governments of Alaska must do their best to ensure that the rights of their members and the rights of their governments are not trampled upon. And I think that this commission has an obligation to take its findings, to take these hearings that they have held across the state, and incorporate them into the strongest plea for an act of restoration for those rights, privileges, and responsibilities of tribal governments to govern their people. And I think that anything less is an acquiescence on the part of this commission to the practice not only of the state, but of the federal government to eradicate Native people from the face of this earth. We're not asking that you put us back in a trust relationship. As I said, we don't trust the federal government anymore. We want to hold our land in trust as tribal governments. It's our land. There have been mentions made of other forms of local government. As I said, until you realize that this conquest by paper is in progress, and unless you do something about it, any other form of government that you try to impose on Alaska's Native people will not work. And until you realize that our desire, our need for our subsistence resources transcends any desire on those that are foreign to this country for a sporting desire to kill something, we're all in trouble. One of the things that has been said about Western society is the fact that you and your government are three meals away from anarchy. If in fact the Teamsters of the United States were to say, okay, we are stopping all trucks as of such and such an hour, within three meals you will have anarchy. The Western societies so has developed tunnel vision to an art form. I do not have to worry about my food because there are farmers out there. I do not have to worry about my meat because there's a rancher growing cattle somewhere. He may not even be in my state, but I'm going to rely on him. If you want to conquer the natives, declare it. 66% of all the lawyers in the world service 6% of the population, United States. If that's not an imbalance, I don't know what is. I think therein lies the crux of the problem. The laws are written by lawyers, they're interpreted by lawyers. The only thing that is not left in their hands is the execution. And even they have a great say in how that's done. And that's why I think I have reservations about all of these requirements that we see come down the road when they want to know, show it to me on paper, show it to me on paper. Don't leave it intangible. Don't leave it in the heads of a council. Don't leave it in the heads of people. Show it to me on paper so I can tear it down. Maybe that's why Alaska's Native people never had a written language. Thank you.
I think I think we'll have a coffee break, and then I'll call on one or two others before we close. Willie, could I call on you after coffee? And we'll take a break now for 5 minutes, and then...
I can talk or not talk, because there are lots of things that need to be for other people.
We've been pretty well talked ourselves out. I was just going to ask a little... He's got his hand out to say something, and then I thought I'd see Brown wanted to say something, and then I thought I'd probably close it.
I think that's right.
Well, let's reconvene and... Well, folks, what I was going to do, I think that we've had a good 4 days of discussion, and I think we're about ready to wrap it up. And I just want to say again that I appreciate all of you coming, and I think it's been worthwhile. This isn't intended to produce a solution. My view is that if people keep talking, they'll discover they'll have a fair amount of common ground, and that ideas that that may have seemed daunting. May seem a good deal easier to handle once they become familiar. At any rate, the discussion has been useful for me, and I appreciate it. We only have a few more minutes, and I thought I would ask Willie Casale to speak, and then Browning Pipestem, and then I thought we would close. I think everybody's had a crack at this thing. But just before Willie starts, Evelyn Hash-Pete, you wanted a minute to say something?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I'm speaking in my role as an Atna woman and an Iniprak woman. And my role is to teach my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And the things I teach my grandchildren and great-grandchildren and children are the law of the land. At the risk of losing our loved ones, and I want to commend Ituk and Sheldon, and Ituk especially, for all these years. We risk losing our loved ones, and taking the steps that many of us are taking have been completely necessary, or rather imperative, to not talk about what we are going to do with tribal and Aboriginal governments, but in this way, speaking English, let the United States and the state of Alaska and the Caucasians know that these are the last and absolute words. The law is the law. And the law of this land, Alaska, is that we indigenous Aboriginal people of Alaska, of all parts of Alaska, are together the owners and caretakers of this land, Alaska. We have local laws in place previous to any history in the world, and our language predates any other language in the world. We are going to continue to uphold this, the law of this land. We continue to feed our people from our strategic hunting and fishing village locations, village sites. And this commission must recommend that we are undisputably the governments of Alaska, and any other is alien and not tried and proven or is in need of being tested. I say forget trying to get a consensus of the Aboriginal people of Alaska. Rather, you shall come to each village and obey the laws of that village. Otherwise, you do not have our permission to enter. Our immigration laws are the laws of the land. You must have permission, just as I must have permission, to enter wherever I travel and obtain permission for every activity that you pursue on that land. Otherwise, you are in violation of laws set by the Creator that we carry out. Laws for every activity, every ceremony, every behavior. We are the enforcers of our laws, and if you do not do or do not belong, you shall obey the laws of the land. And in my role as a woman, I teach you who do not know, as I continue to teach my children. Thank you.
Thank you. Willie Casale.
I would like to extend my appreciation for me being involved in these discussions and to hear what the Indian law experts are saying about the native people. I think as far as my village is concerned, we've set down our priorities, and our priority was to bring back the government that had existed in our village by dissolving the municipality which had existed in our community. I've heard a lot of our native brothers and sisters, especially in Alaska, talk about sovereignty issues. As long as there's a municipality existing, in my view, in those native communities, I don't think sovereignty is going to exist effectively within that tribal government. During the 1985 hearings held in Bethel, we came out and said that ANSCA was a termination act, and we wanted to have it repealed and do a restoration act of the Alaska Native Tribal Governments. There's a lot of issues that needs to be addressed in the area of self-government for the native communities. Among other things, water rights. Right now, the native people in the communities in the state of Alaska don't have water rights. And this water rights issue somehow connects with the subsistence rights. The ANSCA corporations selected certain acreages for each native community. A lot of our traditional lands where our forefathers, even us today, where we go and hunt, gather, subsist, those lands aren't even included. Those lands are considered to be state lands. And those lands are being sold off by state of Alaska today. Like I mentioned earlier, we can talk sovereignty and self-government. But in my view, as long as that municipality exists in that native community, I don't think you're going to get anywhere. Selden mentioned an obligation during his speech. I think the native communities are obligated to go ahead and dissolve their municipalities and bring up their tribal governments. In many of our discussions at our village, we use the example of the Israelites, their nations, their governments, their cultures, their history. Well, we have history too. We're no different from the foreign nations that exist in this world. We're a nation ourselves. Still, the state of Alaska's government does not want to deal with us because they say we're an ethnic group. We need to establish a government-to-government relationship with the state government, the federal government, and the international governments. That relationship needs to exist. The discussions that are going on right here, I wish these kind of discussions were happening in the regional centers throughout Alaska, because there's a lot of people out there that are missing out on these informations here. And there's a lot of good information that I'm hearing that we can utilize ourselves also. Alaska, as we know, is broken up into 12 regional corporations. The example that we use in our discussions in our village is, you know, in the Bible, there are 12 tribes too. We can be 12 tribes up here too through the United Tribes of Alaska. We can be one powerful force if we want to be. But still, like Mr. Pipestem mentioned, the native people out here are still crying about it, and they're not doing anything about it. All they're doing is talking about it. I think, again, the municipalities, I keep going back to that municipality. It's still there. It's a force that the native communities have to deal with. And there was a mention of in some of our discussions about establishing municipalities under the native government. I don't quite understand that route. You know, the communities themselves, the Alaskan communities, they need to sit down and talk about self-government. Ultimately, the choice has to come from those communities, the members themselves. We can talk about sovereignty and self-government here, but the ultimate grassroots where the decision is made is in those communities. We've been considered to be radicals when we dissolved our city through the tribal laws. I think the people that came over here supposedly to discover America back in the 1700s or whatever, 1400s, they were also radicals. But the governments, the tribal governments were there. We were there. We were here. And one thing that I can't understand as far as Alaska is concerned, why our communities were incorporated into municipalities. Some say it's because of the money. And that's the main fear I'm hearing from the Alaska Native communities, where the communities are talking about dissolving their municipalities in favor of the tribal governments, money. The state of Alaska deals with other foreign nations, like, for example, Japan. Well, they have their own government. Well, we have our own government too. Why can't the state of Alaska deal with us as a government? And I think that's the route that the state of Alaska needs to do, to deal and recognize us as legitimate governments that we have always been. There's very little understanding from the native communities about these federal law cases relating to the native communities or the native people. We need to go out there to the communities and talk to those people out there and make them aware of what's happening. I kind of wish that this same group of people would travel out to the regional centers to talk to the native communities out there. I'm sure there'd be a lot of questions asked. And I'm sure there'd be a lot of people reevaluating their priorities as far as self-government is concerned. There's been some recommendations where some people saying to us that we need to revitalize the municipality in order to get funding so we can operate as a effective government to serve our members. I don't think my community will ever establish a municipality again. We still have this state chartered organization still existing in our village, and that's the village corporation. Next month, we're going to sit down with our people and talk about that organization. I can't say what course of action the community will take, but I know in my mind what my recommendations are going to be to my people, and they will decide. And I'm kind of hoping all of the 200 some odd villages also sit down and not just talk about the 1991 issues, but also to talk about their self-determination. A couple of days ago I mentioned that the tribal governments in Alaska needs to reevaluate themselves and organize as governments, not in the sense of becoming an IRA government, but effective tribal government. IRA government isn't the only type of government that the people can look upon. I guess with that, close.
Thank you, Willie. Thank you very much. We have here advocates of tribal government, and that is appropriate since there is a tribal government movement in Alaska that has become an important force, obviously, in the life of the state. But I did wish to have here advocates of municipal government so that those of you who support tribal government could hear the case for municipal government, and so that those who believe in municipal government could hear the case for tribal government. And I think we've had a good exchange of ideas. Well, Browning Pipestem, I'll call on you, and I think we'll give you the last word, because you always make us feel good, and we could use a little bit of that right now.
Your Honor, it's about 7-something my time, so I'm about to give out, so it won't take too long for me to say just a word. I've heard people, I think I've probably learned, and I don't pretend to know. I heard somebody say about being in somebody's mucklucks. I don't even have a muckluck, and I can't get in them. So I think what I understood Willie to say is that this is your problem, the people who are native people here. And it's one you're going to have to address. And people like me, all we can do is help you and share things with you to how you address things. I don't pretend to have the nerve to tell you how it ought to be. I'm only here to share some things. I came to your country to share some things with you. And I would say this, there's been a great deal said about legislation. And let me review some kinds of legislation. There's obviously federal legislation. There is state legislation. But in my view, one of the areas over which we have, as Indian tribes, regardless of where we are, have left off is the tribal legislation. There's a certain magic to that that has to it the many things, and Rosita asked the question, and if I understood anything that was said here, it was said that the law is a means whereby there are values that are reflected. And I can only say to you that if there is to be the values and the cultural life of a people to be expressed in the law, the place that it's likely to happen the most is not in the federal legislation or in the state legislation, but in the tribal and native legislation. Now that has been a function of many things, and if that comes, let me give you some more interesting ideas about that. If I understood what Ralph Lerner said, is that there is no homogeneous solution here to one way to do these things, because there are many kinds of people in Alaska. I'm talking about the tribes or the native people. 200 and some odd villages, things of that nature. There can't be one solution. But I would submit to you that the federal legislation is going to seek one or a category of different kinds of solutions, as will other people, because they will not have the time nor the sensitivity to deal with the smaller places. And it seems to me that that is clearly the diversity of that kind can only be served in the flexibility of tribal self-government. And it is a function of tribal legislation to live in a moving, changing, sensitive way for that law to meet the purposes of its people, to serve as a government. And in those circumstances, then these other kinds of legislation, as important as they may be, become adjuncts to the tribal legislation, where the tribe defines who it is as a people, the nature of processes of government that are to take place there, especially when you're far away from the governmental centers. And it strikes me that that's the flexibility and the beauty of this thing. And government really serves two functions. One is to provide a form of governance, and the other is to provide services. And there is a balance sheet to that. And I would just make a suggestion to you that in the United States, and that's only because I can't say lower 48, Indian people are often served in the services area by more than one government. Because I heard some pointless discussion at one point about the nature of that kind of service. Is your people are federal citizens, there's a set of rules and responsibilities as federal citizens that attach to that. Your people are state citizens of the state of Alaska, and there are a certain set of rules and responsibilities that attach with that. And they are also citizens or members of your own people. And there are certain responsibilities and services that attach to that. And I would say to you that many of the tribes in the United States are seeking out now intergovernmental agreements to provide a better form of services to their people, to perform the nature of governmental services of that government. That is not a denigration of your sovereignty. It is a sovereign act to delegate authority. It is a sovereign act to recognize other governments. It is a sovereign act to provide the best possible set of services that you can provide to your people. And I would say to you that on that line, that there is an immenseness of the tribal government potential. And I don't believe that I could disagree more with people who say there is something wrong with the system that functions in the lower 48 in the terms that it does. Maybe it could have been better. But that potential that is there for Indian tribes in the United States, I'm talking about the lower 48 now, ranges from the potential to do nothing to the potential to fill in the blank. We don't know the limits of that governmental authority because our people have not exercised much of it. They have not sought to exercise their jurisdiction in a more sophisticated and modern way. Now, let me say this to you as a thing that you may consider. When I mentioned the creation of a municipality for non-Indians, do you know that there's an Indian tribe that has already created a municipality for non-Indians under tribal law? Do you see that we're limited by where our mind thinks about what an Indian tribal government is? And what I heard some of the native people saying, maybe I was wrong, what I heard some people saying is, this situation is so desperate that we might even think about being a tribal government. It is so bad that we might even think about being a tribal government. And I would just say to you that it is a function of government to provide the room for all kinds of its people to function in there. Because there are people who are going to want to be business people. There are people who are going to want to be intellectuals of various kinds. There are people who are going to want to be traditional services type people, people who hunt, people who fish. And it seems to me that your government ought to be able to hold that difference of kinds of people. And I really believe that the limitations on tribal government have come from our own mind. And that's a form of being unable to respond. And I would just say to you that in those terms, let me give you some examples, but let me give you another, what I perceive to be some advice from your old Oklahoma uncle. As it seems to me that what you need to do is to relax a little bit. You need to relax. Deal with ANCSA as ANCSA. As best I can tell, ANCSA is not the end-all or the be-all of anything. And you need to look beyond 1991 because your tribal government will still be here. Now, the issue of the land and all those things, I don't want to minimize their importance. Those are of extreme importance to you. But I do believe that you can blow this doomed idea totally out of proportion to the point where you become paralyzed. And to overblow it into more than what it is. Now, it's important. There are many things to respond to. But I would just say to you, as your good old Oklahoma uncle, look beyond that time to a time in which there, and do now. You need to determine what the width and breadth of your legal authorities are as a government now. Don't try to exercise illegitimate authority. Exercise legitimate authority. And I would agree with you, if I understood what Sheldon was saying, that there are some people who believe that any exercise of any authority by a tribal government is illegitimate. Well, I'll tell you now, those people are wrong. They're just as wrong as they can possibly be. But the point being is that government is a responsible exercise. It is not a credentialing process for radicals. It is a governing process of being a government. It is not some kind of a credentialing exercise, because you're speaking about the law that will carry your people into the future. You are talking about the law that will guarantee services to your people of major importance. Let me give you some examples. And I don't want to use any other terms than just a few of the things that I've heard here. Why does everybody worry about the afterborn issue? You have the present authority in the document that I saw for Uniclete to have a tribal membership role. Do any of you have tribal membership roles? I don't know. If the tribal membership role is the same as the role of people who are enrolled in the village and who are enrolled in the region, then why aren't they? Seems to me that there's a place to begin. On the land issue, how come you can't get some more? I mean, I don't understand why you aren't trying to get some more that is untainted by this other process. Or maybe there isn't any that isn't untainted. But if that provides categorical and legal problems, find some and obtain some more. And I hear people continue to restate the problem. And I don't want to be misunderstood on that, because I want you to know, and I'm going to express that to you, that I love you. That's why I sat on an airplane for I don't know how long to get to this place. Into specificity that comes out in the form of laws and services for your people, and a means to activate the moral imperative. And I'm going to tell you what I told my son one time, that there may be discrimination in the world. There may be people who do not appreciate Indian people. There may be people who actively do not appreciate Indian people. But rather than to make a way of life out of that and develop a reactionary and negative identity of do-nothingness, but wallow in it and be crippled by it, is something that we need not do. You need to be aware of that, but you need to move on. Move on. There are future issues to be addressed here that only the native people are going to be able to address. Your advisors are going to be important to you. But I would just say to you that some of these things that I hear, and the question was asked, how do we dignify and legitimize tribal government? An answer to that is simple. Know what it is and exercise its authorities. That is the beauty of what was left here for you as a people. It is something that is uniquely a part of you, that has uniquely been a part of the law of the United States, that Indian tribes are people who have the power to make laws and to be governed by them. Thank you.
Thank you, Browning. Well, thank you, Browning, and thank you all. This has been a good 4 days. I've learned a great deal. Albert Einstein once said that man can only flourish in a community, and I suppose what we've been talking about is how is that community to be defined, and once defined, how is that community to govern itself? Well, thank you all again, and I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'll see you in 1985.
That year is the year.